Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
Go, bro. It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey, back again, feeling wild, flustered, not in my usual chair. Episode 44, the Derek Coleman edition of the Respect the Game podcast. Here, as always, with my boy Abe Schwadrin. Abe, what's swell?
Aka Abraham Lincoln Bio. I'm feeling like a real big boy right now in the what are we calling this? Like
producer's chair, man.
Yeah, the producer's chair. I was gonna say the cockpit, but that sounded mad weird in my head.
So yeah, I mean, we're hype. March Madness is upon us officially. Mans went to many basketball games at the Garden last week for the Big East tournament. Saw some wotes out there, saw some good people out there, but you know, all in all, it was a great experience. A
lot of wotes walking around.
A lot of wotes, but also Ben Osborne, the walking legend himself, so that makes up for a lot of things.
And this is always a special Monday when the bracket drops the Sunday night.
Yeah.
And Monday, a shitload of people talking about college basketball don't know anything about what they're talking about.
Yeah, as opposed to the usual trash Mondays. So this is a nice little break of the monotony. But yeah, I mean, I just get hyped that whenever a massive amount of people pay attention to basketball, period.
That's a great point.
So, I mean, however the games shake out, I mean, isn't that important to me, because I don't really have any money to spend on gambling, as you know, I have bigger investments to make over the next couple months, which you don't need to get into. But you know, I'm just hyped to watch ball. Midday sports is probably my favorite thing in the world.
I was about to say, yeah. Thursday and Friday might as well be national holidays. Just the daytime hoops is really an incredible thing.
Yeah, and you got Friday with the St. Patrick's Day combination too, which is good for a lot of people.
Yeah, also, like, I don't know, I feel like we should have like a normal person in here to tell us, how do you spend that Thursday and Friday? I mean, for us, we're so lucky that we work in basketball. It's like part of our job to watch the games, but I gotta assume there's a lot of people calling in sick.
Oh hell yeah. I know,
just heading to the bar at noon on Thursday.
I know my boy puts in he makes sure he has a day off every Thursday, Friday of the NCAA tournament, which is a legendary move.
That's a genius.
I wish I could do the same, honestly. But like, I wouldn't even go to a bar or anything. I would just like watch at home.
Yeah, you got to be able to hear Jim Nance,
the God.
You got to be able to hear the games, man.
Yeah, onions. All right.
You got to have the strong Wi-Fi as well.
Yeah, mandatory.
Twitter has definitely changed the game.
Yo, we're fucking I can't stop. We got to get into this.
We
got way too much to talk about. Before we even continue, we didn't even introduce our boy yet. We got Franklin Kaye up in here. Frankie, was good?
Yo. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here, my brother. So, you know, before we get into the full tourney talk, do you have – so you were at the ACC tournament at Barclays all last week.
Most of it, yeah.
Most of last week. So why don't you just give us, like, a very brief breakdown. They gave you a wallet, so we might as well
– Right, yeah.
Come up with a little bit of pub.
Was there any money in that wallet when they gave it to you?
Nah, not really. But you know what? Like, it's my first wallet in, like, 4 years. It's kind of a monumental moment in my life.
What did you do with your stuff before that?
I mean, I just had like 4 cards in my pocket, basically. I thought it was a little more easier, but it started getting a little complicated as the days went by. Yeah. So I needed
as you matured.
Yeah, that too. So I got a free wallet, you know, got all my cards in there. I'm pretty excited about this.
Well worth the trip to Barclays Center for that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. But I think people was mentioning the fun part about it too. It's like people watching, you know, like just watching all these different media personnel.
That's a polite way to put it.
Yeah. Like, shout out to the CBS guy who did not get a ballot for the first team and second team. And so, like, made it very clear that he needed a ballot to the media lady, and the media lady found a paper to give to him.
Wait, a ballot for what, MVP?
First team and second team.
You voted?
I did not get a ballot.
But did you cause a stink?
That's the real uproar.
So yeah, it's always fun. Yeah, I mean the games itself were amazing. I mean, look, so here comes Duke as a fifth seed, having to basically win, you know, obviously 4 games in 4 days, never done before. And I think, look, we always say it's all about, you know, playing at the, you know, getting hot at the right time or whatever the case may be. But this Duke team, man, I don't know, man. Look, here comes the team that, you know, first it was Harry Giles, whatever. He was out for the first, 2 months it was?
Yeah.
Then you have Jason Tatum, who was out the first 8 games. Then you have all the off-the-court stuff with Grayson Allen, on-the-court, off-the-court stuff with Grayson Allen. Then you have Coach K having to leave, you know, halfway through the season. This team has been through some stuff this year, man, and the fact that they've been able to sort of get it together at the right time. Well, first of all, Luke Kennard, man, MVP.
He's nasty.
All right, cool. That's great and all, but, like, Jason Tatum had 25 against Louisville on Thursday, 24 against UNC on Friday, 19 against Notre Dame on Saturday, and does not get MVP?
You pissed?
Pissed.
Did you talk to Mr. Tatum at the tournament or nah?
Mr. Tatum had bigger things to get to at that time. But, he got robbed, dude.
Yeah.
Freshman? He got robbed. But look, so you have Tatum doing his thing. Grayson came off the bench the entire week. So Grayson came off the bench. Fran Jackson was starting. And I actually like...
God?
Your boy. I actually like Grayson off the bench because I feel like off the bench, he comes off with a... He's bringing in... So he has a chip on his shoulder now. Now he feels like, you know, he wants that starting job again or whatever the case may be. He comes in, like, wanting to prove something. Whereas... And then you have Frank, who's way more comfortable now starting a game instead of having to come in midway and sort of, like, finding a way to produce a little something here and there. So now you have Frank starting. You have Grayson off the bench, who now has a reason to come out there and make something happen. And you have Tatum, who caught on fire. Giles, like, there was a stretch, I don't know if you saw, where Giles on the defensive end blocks a shot, runs to full court, gets lobbed in for alley-oop, comes back on the other end, steals the ball, passes it to outlet, and Duke scores again. That was, like, all within a 40-second stretch. And
man's
like,
been checking that Draft Express board, man. He has stopped dropping all season.
All season. And so, I mean, but when you look at it, this is the perfect storm for Duke, where you have, like, 4 or 5 guys who have so much to prove, from Giles to now. And Tatum, like, made his way into the top three conversation, like, all year long. He's been sort of, like, that guy that's been 5th, 6th, or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, like, he comes in there and just – dominates Louisville, UNT, Notre Dame, back-to-back-to-back nights, and now all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, like, this dude, like, belongs in the top three conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Duke is actually the Vegas favorite to win the whole tournament. They're not even a one seed, and they're the Vegas favorite.
So basically,
hot.
Basically, what you're saying is this is the Duke everybody expected to see.
Right, they were ranked number one at the beginning of the year, you remember. They were actually ranked number one, and then, you know, things happen. Giles got hurt again and whatever, and Tatum got hurt, and Grayson went off Grayson style, and then you know, Coach K, and so there were, things weren't clicking, and all of a sudden, like, here you are in New York, and things are clicking. Like, you know, Tatum has something to prove now. Grayson off the bench has something to prove now.
Yeah,
Giles seeing himself, like that 40-second stretch that completely could turn Giles, you know, entire season around. And so now all of a sudden, like, you find yourself with this Duke team where, yeah, like you're saying, now they're the favorites according to Vegas, and as a 5th seed, I don't think anyone expected that like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because they're the 2 seed in the East, where the 1 seed is Villanova. And Peter, you were at the Big East tournament all of the same weekend, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did you see out of Nova?
Dude, love Nova, man. Been riding the Nova bandwagon all season. I mean, everything they do is just so impressive. So, the night of the Big East final, I got there like probably like 90 minutes early to watch warm-ups, and like, so Nova's warm-ups are so, everything is like so methodical. Like, you look at the other end, Creighton's just doing like random layup lines and just putting up shots, and you know, Villanova's running like these complex drills, and every player from Josh Hart to Chris Jenkins to the walk-ons are going, you know, 100% through the whole thing. So like, right from the jump, like, this team is getting the mental edge on Creighton. And I think it plays a big part. Like, if you're looking across the court and you see a team going all out and just their pregame warm-ups, you know they're coming to play for the night. So, you know, I just admire the way Jay Wright runs his program. Defensively, they really just bottle teams up. Like, they shut Creighton down at the final. I'm not that high on Creighton to begin with. I thought the game against Seton Hall was a lot better. So, you know, I think the big knock on Nova is I don't know how they're going to handle a big man You know, they played well against Angel Delgado, who's an excellent big man for Seton Hall, like fronting him in the post and doubling every time he caught the ball. But, you know, I don't know. They need a full team effort defensively every single time, and it takes a lot out. And, like, there are times when, you know, their offense goes stagnant a little bit and they have trouble creating. But Abe and I were raving about Josh Hart when we saw him play, I think, on what, that was Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night.
Yeah, so, I mean,
he's so strong.
He's so strong, like, you can tell, like, the experience with him plays a huge role. Like, he always gets to the spot. You know, they're trailing against Seton Hall at the end of the game, and, you know, things look like they might be slipping away. And Josh Hart comes out of nowhere to get an offensive rebound put back and an N1 to, like, basically seal the game.
Basically pure strength and, like, awareness.
Yeah.
All other guys are, like, staring at the rim. Boom, he comes in there. Repping Silver Spring, Maryland very hard.
Home of many legends.
At least one, yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta also give a shout out to, I mean, the Big East, a lot of those teams had some fire sneaker going on.
Hell yeah.
That being said, Chris Jenkins is like, he's like the dude in the gym who, like, you walk in and you're like, this dude has the dustiest sneakers, and you kind of like underestimate him, and then he just kills you.
He's like kind of out of shape. He's got
exactly.
He's like old dusty ass sneakers.
Right, exactly. Like he's like his uniform is like a little too small, and like his sneakers are like a little too worn in. Like
yeah,
you like that's like when you walk in the gym and you see a dude like that. And you're like, all right, well this guy's about to get this guy out of here, and then he's on the court for like 2 hours running pickup, winning every single game. That's Chris Jenkins.
That's the thing, like Jenkins, like. I mean, I think he starts just because, you know, he's a senior in leadership and all that. But he gets yanked pretty quick in the first half. Like, I think he was getting pulled. He was the first sub out, and he was getting pulled with, like, 18 minutes left at each game I saw. For Eric Pascal, who's super athletic, super strong, and this kid Dante DiVincenzo, who has gotten much better as the year has gone on. So, you know, they run about 7-8 deep, and all those guys can play. I mean, they're just, like, a really well... You know, they're a Nova team. Like, they're going to do everything right. They're going to pump fake every time they touch the ball. They're going to make the right pass. They're not going to get too high. They're not going to get too low. So, I'm super high on them. But, you know, as we're sticking in the East, like, I would hate to see them play Wisconsin in the second round because, you know, Wisconsin's got Nigel Hayes and Ethan Happ who, you know, could give them a lot of problems down low. So, I hate that. I hate, you know.
I think Wisconsin's under – dude, Wisconsin beat the shit out of Northwestern over the weekend. I'm sure we'll get to my squad later, but yeah, I mean Wisconsin, they're kind of like a hot and cold team. Like, it's just gonna—I don't know. Nova is so much more consistent than Wisconsin. I don't know if Nova's really gonna have a problem with them.
I mean, they got to beat Virginia Tech first, who's a good team. But like, you know, is Nova's consistency? Are they consistent? Like, I mean, because they won a national championship last year, obviously an amazing feat. But you know, you think back. The years before that, they were always getting bumped early, and it was always like, is Jay Wright going to be able to win the big one? So,
yeah, that's a good
point. I guess all that is kind of thrown out the window now that they've won, but I don't know. I don't feel good about that Wisconsin-Nova potential round two matchup.
Consider this our East regional preview. Oh, yeah. So, like, do you guys see any – do either of you see anything but a Duke-Nova meeting in the Elite Eight?
I don't see it. I don't see it, Pete. I don't know about you, but I don't see it. I think I text Pete right away yesterday saying, like, I think the East bracket is probably the most softest one after Nova and Duke out of all four brackets, all four regions. No, I don't really see it. I mean, Wisconsin's going to put up a fight. Virginia's going to put up a fight. Baylor, obviously. But I don't see any of them. Nova and Duke are just clicking both.
Yeah.
I mean, and ironically enough, they were both here in New York last week. Nova won it for Big East, Duke won it for ACC, and they can obviously now face each other in the Elite Eight for the rights to go to.
And that'll be in New York too.
And that'll be in the Garden.
Yeah, exactly. Hell yeah.
The SMU thing. I know
there's
weird
been buzz about SMU. I admittedly have not seen them play at all this year, but I mean 30-4 is like that's a crazy record. Their best player, whose name I'm gonna butcher, the Duke transfer. It's like. I'm not even gonna try it, but he's had a monster year, and they're big, they're long. So I mean, Abe, you mentioned earlier, I think they're what, like sixth in the Vegas odds to win.
They're definitely like in the top 10 of teams as far as if you want to go off betting odds. They're I was surprised to see them up there with, I think they're right up there with like UCLA as far as that second tier of teams behind the one seeds and Duke. So,
and I mean, out of six seed, that's crazy. So, I mean,
30-4, bro.
The AAC was trash.
Also facts.
But yeah, I mean, you can't deny 30 wins in a season.
But you also couldn't even name their best player.
No, I know his name. I just don't. I just don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay, fine.
You got it up there?
No. Oh, Semi?
Yeah.
Ojeleye?
Yeah, exactly.
I just totally made that up. Is that how you say it?
But that is who I'm talking about.
Many shouts to him, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully we said that right, bro.
He played at Duke. I'd love to see him get his revenge game against Duke later on.
Should we just quickly do a...
I'm all about the revenge games, by the way.
I feel like we just... Should I just quickly... I just pulled up his Twitter page. Should I just randomly read like a tweet of his from like a recent tweet?
Yeah.
Just a random recent tweet? All right, let's see. Actually, you know what? These are almost 100% biblical references and quotes, so I don't even want to make fun of it.
Yeah, so he's got God on his side too. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm starting to get the SMU fever, man. I'm starting to ride the Pony Express a little bit over here.
It's literally all Bible verses and SoundCloud links.
Same.
Okay, on that was our East preview. Nah, but I mean, who do you get? Let's just, I mean, go around a room. Who do you like coming out of the East, I guess? I mean, I like Nova to make it to the Final Four out of the East, even though this probably is not only is it the softest, like Frankie said, but it's probably the most boring bracket to me, honestly. There's not a lot of, like, sexy storylines in here. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry if I don't get excited for Virginia, Florida, potential second round, like, stuff. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of bored by this bracket, to be honest with you.
Facts. I mean, I'm going to go Nova, too. I don't feel great about it, but... I mean, a potential classic Nova Duke Elite Eight game. I'm here for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Okay. By softest, I just want to clarify. I don't want people adding me. I meant like soft as an easier route to the Final Four, not soft as in like, you know, the physical soft.
No, we know what you
adding,
mean.
Adding at me.
Good clarification, okay. Though. Smart.
Cool. With that being said, I guess I'll go with Duke. Look, I think you have you have Grayson who won a championship 2 years ago. You have Emil Jefferson who won a championship 2 years ago. I think Duke has the great combination of the perfect storm of guys that are been there, done that, and then you have the Jason Tatums and the Frank Jacksons and the Harry Giles that are sort of like rising to the occasion at the right time and trying to like make a point themselves. And so I just think like it's just hard. I mean, how many times can teams actually get back to the championship game 2 years in a row?
Like, no, I agree.
Did it. And it's nothing against Nova. It's just like the feat is just so hard and the odds are against them that they will actually get back into the championship game 2 years in a row. And so, and if there's anybody that can sort of do it and knock them out, I think it would be Duke.
Right. Well, I just got one quick thing, like NBA-wise. I mean, for Duke, I feel like, Tatum, Giles, Grayson Allen, even they have more riding on this than most guys. Like, I mean, if Tatum blows up, he's looking at knocking on the door to be a top five pick at the draft. Yeah. And I mean, Giles has seen his stock plummet, due to injury and what have you, not playing all that well this year. But a couple good games in the tournament, and man, he could turn things around quickly.
Exactly. I mean, I think Tatum is now probably in a conversation for top three. I would argue.
Oh shit.
But, Giles has – I mean, Giles is interesting. Like, what do you do? Like, if, say – I think probably Abe was mentioning the whole Scott Lebezier kind of situation with last year, whereas he's sort of like now, like, what, 28, 29 for most mock drafts, like barely making the first round. And so do you come back? Duke has Wendell Carter Jr. coming in, who's a top five big man in the class of 2017. Mohamed Bamba is seriously considering going to Duke, top five in the class of 2017. So now do you come back – and I'm assuming Bolden is going to come back too. So you have like four top 10 players.
And they got Chase Jeter, who's probably going to come back, right?
I totally forgot about Chase. Yeah. You have Chase. If you're Giles, you come back and try to sort of like you're coming back and trying to fight for a starting spot now.
Yeah.
All over again, like you did this year, or do you just go ahead, take away, and take off and try to see if you can sort of make something happen in Summer League? And so. Like you mentioned, this will probably be the two biggest weeks of his life in terms of next career move.
That's crazy. 10 days to determine the next 10 years of your life, basically. That's heavy, man. Anyway, let's move to the West, where Gonzaga is the number one seed. And I mean, basically the big storyline in this bracket is just, you know, can Gonzaga finally get over the hump and get to the Final Four? I think they went, what, 32-1 this year?
32-1, man.
I mean, that's no joke. And, like, for everyone who says, you know, they don't play anybody and their conference is weak, I mean, look, 32-1 is 32-1, no matter which way you flip it. So, you know, they got talent. What's my man's name? Nigel Williams, who transferred from Washington. He's a beast. They got two big guys down low whose names I cannot remember off the top of my head.
It's like Karnofsky or...
Yeah, they got a big four.
They beat Arizona. They beat Florida. Beat Tennessee. It's not like they didn't play anyone.
Yeah.
And then they smoked their conference.
Yeah. So, like, St. Mary's. I think St. Mary's went, like, 30-4, and they crushed them both times they played them.
It feel like a Villanova thing from last year where, like, you're so tempted to be like, oh, this is the team that always loses in the Sweet 16, the overrated team, but maybe they break through this year? Or is that not even a good comparison just because of the different leagues?
No, I think it's a great comparison because, you know, you got Mark Few, who's kind of in the same spot Jay Wright had been in previously, like keep getting to the tournament, keep having amazing regular seasons, then getting bumped early or, you know, flaming out, now making the Final Four. But, like, Gonzaga is interesting because their best years, and this goes to show you how much research I did heading into this thing, but I feel like the best years they have in the tournament is when they're like a 4-11 seed. Like, that's when they like sneak up on people. Like, as the one seed, I mean, look, like, Abe, you can speak much more to this than literally anybody else I know in the world. I mean, they potentially face Northwestern the next round where you're alum. So, could that be a game? Like, is Northwestern good enough to give them a game?
No. I mean, will I pick this Northwestern to go to Sweet 16 minimum in any bracket that I fill out?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that going to be a close game? No. Will that game even happen? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like Vanderbilt, what, they had like 15 losses this year? I don't know how they got into the tournament, man. That's wild to me.
Yeah, I mean, I promise not to do any bubble talk or like team should have got in, shouldn't have got in, besides just saying that Syracuse not getting in was kind of a heartbreaker just for our...
Strictly for personal reasons.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, like, I mean, Cuse could come back, NIT finals maybe.
Oh, yeah. We might have to pull up.
Be back in town.
Yeah.
I could go off on a huge thing about Northwestern basketball, but I won't do it.
No, do it, dude. This is your one chance. This is the first time they've ever been in the tournament. This could be, you may never see this again. So you might
disrespectful. That's disrespectful. This is, as Chris Collins said yesterday, this is just the beginning of Northwestern basketball, okay?
Yeah, well, how much longer is he going to last?
You know, honestly, like, I won't even be mad when he eventually does get a new job. That's just how college basketball works, man. Yeah. These guys don't stick around for more than... This is his fourth season. How many more seasons realistically is he going to stick around? I mean, to me, it just depends what jobs are available, like what jobs are, or if he's going to really hold out for the Duke job.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I will not allow Darren Revelle's enthusiasm to ruin my excitement about Northwestern making the tournament.
That goes for life in general.
And I think people will be surprised at like the sort of style of play and like how watchable Northwestern actually is. This isn't like a pity party, you know what I mean? This is a good team with some serious players that it really looks like a normal big conference college basketball team should look.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago they couldn't even get the ball over half court.
Correct.
If there was a press. So to go from that to making the tournament is pretty great.
Yeah. So,
I mean, understatement of the year, pretty great.
You know, and that is one of the first games of the entire tournament on Thursday. So, you know, I'll be locked in. And I do think they'll beat Vandy. I mean, of all the draws, of all the 8-9 draws, like that's – and strangely, actually, I mean, the Big Ten is in almost every 8-9 matchup. Big Ten got real disrespected.
Big Ten had some trash seating. I mean – what happened? Is the Big Ten trash, Abe? I mean, I guess is my overlaying point. I have to say yes.
The Big Ten is trash in terms of the Big Ten, but I'm not sure that the Big Ten is trash versus the rest of the country. Like, just because the league itself wasn't as competitive, I wouldn't say that those teams aren't as good. I mean, I think Wisconsin's going to thrash Virginia Tech. I think Michigan State will beat Miami. Those are other big conference teams.
Dude, Michigan State looked horrible this year, man.
Izzo, man. Izzo in the tournament.
How'd that work out last year?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Anyways, look, I mean, looking around the West, too, there's another Big Ten team, Maryland, playing Xavier. The thing about Maryland is Melo Trimble strikes me as one of those guys that could just get hot and you could just ride him through a regional.
What about your boy J.P. McEurow, though? Xavier.
The full top to bottom, no skin showing look?
Yeah, the legend.
I kind of bang with that as a style statement. If people don't know what we're talking about, watch the Xavier-Maryland game. You'll immediately notice the white boy wearing the full arm sleeves, full leg tights. It's a very interesting top-to-bottom look, especially because they rock the black, so it's like a full black. It's just a strange – I don't know if that's like a thing he does for like a physical comfort or it's just a pure style, whatever
cozy,
it is.
Cozy, man.
How has nobody asked him about that? Aesthetic. Has someone asked him about that?
Probably.
How have we not asked him about that?
But no, I actually do like Xavier to beat Maryland in the first round.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, Frankie, what did you think of like Notre Dame, who you saw play last week, who has, I think, beat Duke earlier this year and – has won, you know, more than they were at the top of the ECC all season. So
yeah. They were 25-9, and so they look good, dude. They're pretty big, actually, like roster wise,
yeah.
You know, size wise, and so and that was the one thing Duke didn't really have much with size, and so Notre Dame. I mean, who they're playing? Princeton. I mean, that's
the first game of the whole tournament, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, well, if you don't count the first four,
like I said, it's the first game of the tournament.
Shout out to
I hate the first four. I don't know what you
Why?
Guys think. I just think it's dumb. Like, I was the entire selection show, I was just pleading for Northwestern not to be in the first four. It just feels like a JV game.
I don't get why they would, like, make such a big deal out of it and then put it on True TV and not have it on CBS.
Well, more importantly, like, what you're making such a big deal about, and then you put, like, USC, who barely deserves to be in the tournament, is in it. Why not just not have them in the tournament? That's the stuff that I don't get. What are we doing here with the first four?
USC beat UCLA earlier this year, though.
Okay, having one nice win doesn't mean anything.
And almost beat them again in the Pac-12, actually.
What's Northwestern's best win?
Tournament.
They're all conference wins, like at Wisconsin.
I like Arizona, actually, coming out of the West. To be honest with you. I think talking about guys that have kind of picked it up late in the season or just kind of reappeared late in the season, Alonzo Trier. It's happening.
Yeah, facts.
It's we weren't sure he was. I mean, I guess he practiced the entire time he was out. So technically, it's not like he was coming back from an injury per se. He was just, you know, had that thing going on, and so it sounded like. I mean, he never missed a step. I mean, came straight in and just kind of was back to his old self. Obviously, a year older than last year, and he's one of those guys that are now playing catch up in terms of draft stock and having to sort of get back up there on the board. Raleigh Alkins, our boy. Out of Brooklyn, has stepped up big time. Kobe Simmons and obviously Finland.
Laurie Markkanen.
I'm always scared to say it wrong.
Same. I got you. Don't worry. I'll take the fall on this one. Oh, and Notre Dame did not beat Duke, for the record. They beat Louisville. That's what I was thinking of. I definitely banged with Arizona.
I mean, I watched the Pac-12 championship game, and this goes for every team across college basketball, but like even Arizona, I'm pretty sure they had two of like – the top three or four free throw shooting kids in the whole conference in the final like 3 minutes went to the free throw line. I think they shot a combined like 1 for 5.
Yeah.
this is the thing about predicting anything about, or I mean, and Peter and I talked about this at the Big East tournament one night last weekend, like all this like KenPom stats and pace and man. That's fine if you want to use that as a little bit of like added research to what you're doing, but dude, in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game, if you got an 84% college basketball free throw shooter and he misses three straight free throws, like that's just the shit that happens in college ball. Like turnovers everywhere, missed free throws. Dude, there's no execution.
You're investing time and money if you're gambling into kids who are 18 to 22 years old, which is just like an awful thing to do. Period. I don't know why you would trust it on the basketball court as well. Like all these stats and advanced stats and everything, like I feel like they all go out the window because all these matchups, these teams have never played each other. So I mean, I would say like if you're picking, just go with your gut.
Dude, remember last year the life
advice. Go with your gut.
The Northern Iowa Texas A&M game last year.
Yeah, they were up 12 with a minute left or something.
With like 48 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Like teams are always prone to a meltdown at some point or another.
I'm just talking about win or lose. God forbid you are gambling with the spread in that game. Facts. Holy shit.
And I think Sean Miller has never gotten to the Final Four, so this will be another thing. Would it?
Yeah.
Is this the year that he finally gets Arizona into the Final Four? And so I think that Gonzaga-Arizona matchup might be a classic.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about Arizona, one, I don't know what they did to their uniforms, but they got to bring back the old-school ones, man. They're doing too much. And two, a West Coast team has not won the national championship since 96, and it was Arizona that year. And I don't think a West Coast team has been to the Final Four since UCLA did it, I think, when Kevin Love was there. So that must have been like 10 years ago at this point.
So who's your favorite like NBA prospect in this region? Because I want to read his tweets.
I mean, personally, or like who is the top prospect?
It's not the same.
No, because my personal favorite is Dwayne Bacon.
Oh,
from Florida State.
We didn't mention Florida State.
But I think the best is probably Jonathan Isaac, also at Florida State, who's projected to go top 10. But I don't know. I mean, that kind of like those stats like kind of throw a wrench into things because, you know, you got Gonzaga and Arizona, the favorites, both West Coast teams. So, you know, that's a big thing to look at. Like, we're looking at a, you know, potential West Coast team in the Final Four for the first time in a minute, which is wild to think about considering how many great players come from Cali.
Right. I mean, and once we get to the South, I guess, there's a couple of teams there that might also West Coast teams that might also be in a Final Four conversation.
So who do you like
for
Final Four out of this region?
I'm going with Zona.
Arizona. And I got
to
agree with
the two
with
seeds for East and West, Duke and Zona. I don't know.
Who you got, Abe?
I got Arizona. And I got Dwayne Bacon's Twitter account ready to roll. February 8th, fake is fake.
I'm going to go Gonzaga, man.
Wow. Mm.
No real rhyme or reason, just so we don't all go to Arizona.
Cool. Can't wait for them to be gone in the second round.
What, at the hands of Northwestern?
Yeah, bro.
You didn't even pick Northwestern to go to the Final Four, man.
Should I?
I mean, how hard do you ride for your alma mater?
I mean,
keep in mind we're hitting the Midwest region next.
I mean, I ride for them pretty hard, but I also don't like sounding stupid on a podcast. So, yeah, how do you know I didn't pick them all the way to the Elite Eight just to lose to Arizona?
Oh, big facts.
Let's move on.
All right. So, to the Midwest, where Kansas is the number one seed. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at this shit now for the first time. Wow, this is actually kind of a stacked bracket. Kansas, Oregon, Louisville, all excellent teams. Michigan won the Big Ten tournament.
Purdue
is good, but I can't bang with Purdue forever again, man.
And why?
Because fuck Drew Brees, that's why.
Oh.
Michigan State, who Abe loves for whatever reason. I think Nevada might, I don't know, but Iowa State, they always like play well in the tournament too, I feel like.
Yeah, also the Kansas-Iowa State potential Sweet 16 matchup, like two Big 12 teams know each other pretty well. Like, I always look for the sort of potential, you know, conference matchups of teams that like know each other super well. It's always mad interesting.
Yeah. I like Rhode Island, man. I think Rhode Island is going to knock off Creighton in the first round.
I'm glad you said that because they're as hot as anyone.
Yeah.
And Oregon just lost like one of their best players to ACL.
Chris Boucher, right?
That's yeah. And, you know, I didn't even have that much faith in Oregon to begin with. But, you know, I don't know. I could see Rhode Island making a little midi run there. They're hot right now.
Dude, EC Matthews, man, big fan of that guy. Big fan. And they got Karan Iverson, too, right? Does he still go there? Or am I bugging?
I've not heard that name in like 3 years, man. Karan Iverson. Does he?
I hope so.
I'll do the mandatory Googles over here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think he does. Stand by.
The real matchup in this bracket that anyone truly cares about is Purdue-Vermont, the 4-13 game. I went to Vermont. Vermont currently riding a 21-game win streak into the tournament. barely beat Albany in the conference championship. Had me really, really ready to never root for Vermont ever again if they lost that game. But honestly, as much as I love them, I really, like, they have no answer for Caleb Swanigan and Isaac Haas and Purdue.
Purdue's fucking huge.
I know, man. And they're good, too. Like, they beat a lot of good teams this year. So I could see Purdue make a little run. I mean, I would love if Vermont, you know, got hot. And, I mean, I saw, like, Seth Davis was, like, wiling as soon as Vermont came up. He was like, they're going to the Sweet 16 before he even saw that they're playing Purdue. So, I mean, I could totally see, like, Swanigan having, like, 25 and 20 against Vermont and knocking them off. But, you know, I'm going to pick Vermont anyway because those are my guys.
I love that.
Thanks, man.
This also strikes me. So, I mean, I'm sure everyone's process is not, you know, super mathematic. I just look at this shit and, like, Nevada – kind of like them over Iowa State, bro. And I've seen literally 0 minutes of either of those teams play. But you just kind of look down the bracket. You're like, man, Iowa State, whatever,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. And look, like, there's always a 12-5 upset. So you got to pick one somewhere.
So I didn't even – you're so right. Yeah. I just did it naturally, randomly in my head. God, I'm so smart.
Dude, I'm riding with that too, man. So right now we got Nevada and Vermont. Or I got Nevada and Vermont in the second round. Wow, Vermont really going to the Sweet 16. Let's go.
All right, but in all seriousness, who do you guys like to reach the actual Final Four or like the lead? Do you guys believe in Louisville?
I actually think Louisville is going to make it to the Final Four.
Really?
That's my pick, yeah.
I do too, actually. I mean, after getting bumped out of in the quarterfinals in the ACC, I'm pretty sure they're not too happy about that, and so they're going to have a lot to prove. Donovan Mitchell has obviously stepped up big time for them, and now he's apparently like a top 25 draft prospect now all of a sudden. Louisville, I mean, Kansas, I mean, we can't forget, you know, they're one of the most
I like Kansas actually to make the Final Four. I just think that's just like a team that's a class above all these other teams
feel like they're kind of a mess right now though.
I mean, this is the perfect, but I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, as Duke and all these other teams, like, they got bumped out in the quarterfinals. There's, like what you're saying, a whole lot of stuff going on, like, off the court. And this is when, like, Frank Mason and Graham are supposed to step up and ask to, you know, show the leadership. And so I think they have a lot of proof. Like, they just got bumped out, and people are very low on them. And people are not too happy that they got the one seed, actually. So
I mean, the other thing is, one of the hottest teams in college basketball is in this region. That's Michigan.
No, it's Vermont. They won 20
okay,
straight.
Fine, man. Whatever, bro. Iverson does play for Rhode Island. Averages 9-7.
Oh, word! That's actually way better than I expected it to be.
Man.
So let's go.
Yeah,
but no, give a. Iona's in this bracket too. Let's go, Westchester kid. As my sister texts me, who's gonna win the tourney? Listen to the podcast. But no, you want to give like a 2-minute spiel or 20-second spiel on Michigan and why you think they might do some damage?
I'd rather just read Karan Iverson tweets.
Dude, Don, please enlighten us.
AKA King of Hartford on his Twitter account.
No.
Yeah, I shit you not, man. His last tweet was hashtag new profile pic, so that's not really a good one. Let's see what else he's got going on here. This is good radio, by the way.
Yeah, this is amazing, man. Really glad we're doing this right now.
Let's see. If money grew on trees, what would be more valuable? Diamonds? Mind you, food, clothes, and gas prices would be off the charts.
All right, moving on to... Oh, yeah. So, Abe, who's your pick?
Kansas.
So, you like Kansas and...
If it's not Kansas, it'll be Purdue. I will say that.
How dare you?
I'm really sorry.
But you really... Yo, you love the Big Ten.
The Big Ten was criminally underseeded throughout this tournament, and I just think Purdue has the personnel to beat Kansas, and that's the only team in that region that I think could give Kansas a shot. Now, if Purdue loses in the first round to Vermont...
When?
I'll scrub this from the pod since I'm now in the producer's seat.
There you go, man. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough in that seat. The spotlight's on you now,
man. Everybody's looking at me.
Yeah, not too
fun. Is this even recording? Who knows?
All right, on to the South, where Carolina's the one seed. A lot of uproar about Carolina being the one seed because they lost to Duke. They lost to Duke twice in the past, like, 10 days, right? Or am I bugging?
Nah, they won the... UNC won the final, the last game of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure they did. It was at home. I mean,
Do you guys want me to read tweets while you're looking that up?
Or? No, enough with the goddamn tweets, okay, man. I'm starting to lose my patience now. But Carolina, a lot of people thought they shouldn't get the number one seed over Duke. I mean, I don't really care either way.
My question is, why the hell is Carolina, UCLA, and Kentucky in the same region? I think that would have been three of my four Final Four teams.
Facts.
Or at least two.
Frank, you have any insight?
So annoying.
No insight. I mean, I'm trying to find his North Carolina thing. I don't know.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
I'm looking around the room. Everyone just looking at their individual technological devices.
I know.
All right. So
I mean, it's just so annoying. Like, Kentucky and UCLA are two of, like, in my mind, the coolest teams in college basketball.
Yeah, that definitely matters. Cool factor is huge in these
rankings.
Pretty
much all that matters to me as far as picking my teams, like, who I want to root for. So the fact that they can meet in the Sweet 16 is unbelievably frustrating. And I think the other most interesting thing about this region is the Kentucky playing North Kentucky in the first round. Like, if you're North Kentucky, don't you think that was the number one team they probably wanted to see in the first round? It's Kentucky?
I think this is North Kentucky's first year of D1 eligibility, too. Yeah. And they made it.
Like, if
Northwestern, man?
Shut up, dude. Shut up. Totally different. What conference does Northern Kentucky play in? Yeah, that's what I thought.
The Northern Kentucky, they play
themselves 28 times a year, and then they get in.
They're in the Bluegrass Conference.
They're in the Horizon, bro.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm just saying, if you're a Northern Kentucky player or fan, like, this is the fucking Super Bowl for you.
Hell yeah.
This is amazing. Like, the chance to play, I mean, they knew they were going to play some huge, you know, it'd be like, what are the other two seeds? Duke and Arizona. You know you're going to play some team that's far better than you, but to be able to play Kentucky, like, the on the
yeah, but wouldn't you think most Northern Kentucky fans are like actually
like half real Kentucky fans? And that's a great point.
Yeah.
But if you're a player, that's the matchup you want, bro.
Yeah, you gotta take it.
It's
all,
like the JV playing
gotta
the
take
varsity.
It to all the Kentucky players who go to Kentucky, man. Literally zero. So I don't know. But I think I'm looking at UCLA. I don't know, man. I don't feel good about that second round matchup with Cincinnati potentially.
Really?
Yeah. I think Cincinnati, you know, they're another team that won a lot of games in this shit AAC conference.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, but they're like, not being in the Big East makes it confusing. I feel like I haven't seen them play because of that.
Yeah, but you know Cincinnati's gonna be like a grinded out, like tough nosed defensive team, and UCLA loves to get up and down. So, you know, Cincinnati, I feel like if they can just slow down the pace a little bit, they might have a shot. But I don't know, UCLA is just explosive on the offensive end. But I don't totally trust UCLA. I know Frankie is gonna ride for them hard when I throw it to him, but I mean, I feel like defensively they don't play defense, period. Give up like wild amounts of points, which doesn't bode well for the NCAA tournament, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing to speak about because I think our common sense would say don't put them in the so deep. I just, for disclaimer, I have them winning the national championship, which we will get to.
I want you to argue my point, man.
My only argument is that LeVar Ball spoke it into existence.
Oh, shit.
Okay. And so, because of that, I have to choose them. That's literally that's my only reason.
You're
like,
so right.
No basketball reason.
You're
to
so
it.
Right. You're honestly
the
so
man
right.
Spoken into existence, and it's gonna happen.
He hasn't been wrong about anything yet.
You know what's
and
weird?
Life.
Like the way that we trust Frankie to say stuff to be right. Frankie trusts LeVar Ball in that same way.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, transitive property. We should probably rock with that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick Kentucky though to come out of this region.
Why?
I just think like, when it comes down to it, the talent's going to take over. I think they're the most talented team in this region, period. North Carolina, kind of lame. They got a one seed. Although, let me take this 1 second to say that my all-time favorite shit this whole week is that the whole week leading up and even on Sunday, every like CBS and ESPN show is like, oh my God, like who should be the one seed? It's like, oh, I think it should be these four. And then the bracket comes out, and all the experts pick every single one seed to go to the Final Four. What the fuck? That's so unbelievably stupid and frustrating. Like, just because it has a one next to their name, now you're going to pick them to the Final Four. But 6 hours ago, you thought Arizona and Kentucky should have been one seeds.
I agree.
Makes no fucking sense.
None. I'm actually picking Carolina to go to the Final Four. Cause,
wow, covering all three bases in this region.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think the three of us. They got the experience, they got size, they got length, they got a good coach, you know.
I also think, strangely, in this region, this is going to be like a sexy region for upsets. You know, the Butler-Winthrop. Like, I don't think Butler even has, like, a brand name to the point that people won't be like, Butler? I'm going to take my upset right here.
Dude, Butler, like, I think Butler beat... They definitely beat Nova once, possibly twice this season.
They're really, really good. I'm just saying... It's so weird. I'm talking about from a more, like... You know, when people just... People fill out their bracket in random-ass ways. And yes. One of them is brand name recognition.
Yes.
And so that's going to mean that I think the same thing for Minnesota, Middle Tennessee. Same thing for Cincinnati and whoever they played, that 11 seed. I just think this Wake Forest. I mean, and look at Wichita State hanging out right there as a 10 seed. I think probably Wichita State's going to get more people picking them than Dayton, even in a 7-10. So I just think this is going to be an interesting...
You're doubting Dayton? Dude, down Scoochie?
Dude, Northwestern cracked Dayton. They ended up coming back in the second half of that game, but they...
Oh, so now the real story is coming out.
What?
How did the X team fare against Northwestern? This is
my greatest frame of reference. That's all I got, bro.
Facts. All right, so, Frankie, what do you see from, like, an NBA perspective, like, as far as which guys are going to have the most to gain, most to lose from this region?
Yes, I mean, we're looking at it. What, Kentucky, UCLA, Sweet 16s, yep. which would be pretty fired. And UCLA beat Kentucky at Kentucky, late last year in December. So that's going to be a game that's going to obviously be closely watched. You have Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox against Lonzo Ball. TJ Leaf has, you know, he started off fire and kind of just...
I think he hurt it. I think he had an ankle injury that slowed him down. Yeah.
So he's hit sort of that whatever freshman wall, whatever you want to call it. And so that game's gonna be fire. I don't know about UNC, man. I don't know. I mean, how many of those guys are like legit lottery picks or even legit first rounders? Would you say?
No, Justin Jackson, love.
Oh yeah, Justin. Yeah,
Justin Jackson. There. I mean, Joel Berry might be a second round pick, yeah. But I mean, like, you look at the same thing with Nova, like, how many of their guys are gonna Josh Hart maybe a late first round pick,
yeah,
you know. Even I saw Bob Myers at the Nova game on Friday night, so you know he's obviously there scouting someone from Villanova. But yeah, I mean, no, I agree, but like, I don't know, and I always feel like in the tournament I always favor like experience, guys who have been there before. Like, I mean, look at Louisville, you know. I think at least Frankie and I picked them to go to the Final Four, and they got Donovan Mitchell,
right?
But who else? I mean, as far as from an NBA perspective, so I don't know. I mean, with these teams, I always look at like guys who've been there 3-4 years and put up numbers. I mean, I guess I don't know. That kind of makes a good case for Kansas too, with Frank Mason and Graham in the backcourt. But
what about Isaiah Briscoe?
What about him?
I mean, talk about.
Or going pro?
Experience, but then also...
He's a sophomore.
Well, at Kentucky, that's like being a senior anywhere else. So.
I just don't think Kentucky's deep enough is the real thing.
Well, and then what about his pro prospects? Are there pro prospects?
Not a question. I mean...
That didn't sound good.
I think it depends who you ask, I would say. But it's more of like not even pro. It's like more of like... If you come back, the same thing as Duke. You come back, and then you have all these guys coming in. I don't know. Honestly, I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that. I would say more on the no side and yes side for this year, particularly. But I don't think there's an answer.
This year's draft is so deep. It's the same problem that like Melo Trimble is going to have. Yeah. He may not even be able to come out either because
he's
so
a senior, isn't he?
No, he's a junior.
What?
Doesn't it feel like he's been there forever?
Yeah. I mean, the thing, Briscoe, if anything, has certainly helped his case this year. Just showing off, you know, versatility. He played like the 1-4 for Kentucky. You know, he lost some weight. He got strong. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm a big fan of his just because, you know, he's a local product. Mm-hmm. And we always want to see those guys do well. And we always want to see guys from Kentucky do well. You know, we got mad love for that program. So, I mean, I think that... There's like a place for Briscoe somewhere out there, hopefully in the league.
At some point.
Maybe not this year, but maybe after next year.
Maybe.
All right. So just to recap, I had Nova Kansas, Kentucky, and Arizona as my Final Four.
All right, I got Nova, Gonzaga, Louisville, Carolina.
I had Duke, Arizona, Kansas, UCLA.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, so Frankie already picked UCLA to win. Who did you have them? Who do you have them beating in the championship game?
I got Duke, UCLA, and I have UCLA winning it all.
If it's really Duke, UCLA, I mean, True TV is gonna be hype as shit.
Hell yeah!
Or whatever channel it's on.
I'm going Nova, Louisville. I'm Nova back to back, kid.
I think I like Arizona over Kentucky.
In the final?
Yeah.
I feel like I picked the blandest final, Nova, Louisville. Most bland. Whatever, I'm riding with it. Nova, Louisville, Nova, back-to-back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris Jenkins and his dusty-ass sneakers.
Josh Hart, most outstanding player.
Oh, shout-out Silver Spring again. Yeah. Wow.
Jenkins from D.C. area, too, isn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can you not ride for them?
I didn't say I didn't ride for them. I have them in the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see them. How often back-to-back in college ball? That's almost like super impressive that if that were to happen.
Florida was the last team to do it.
Yeah, just considering the turnover that happens in college basketball now, it's wild.
Dude, they got as good a shot as anybody, man.
So you guys gonna be in a bunch of like bracket pools or?
Nah.
No.
I'll Frankie? Be in one.
I'm still trying to figure out my budget for this month. So that's TBD.
Work it in.
That's TBD.
What about you, squad? Is there a Northwestern only?
Nah, I mean, yes, but nah. Like, I have a hard time saying no when people invite me to bracket pools. Just kind of like money.
Yeah, and but then it's like I fill win?
It's almost like I fill out so many brackets that I don't remember who I picked in any one given game or even to make to the Final Four. I mean, obviously, the podcast picks are my most important. Let's be real for a minute. Yeah. Because you guys can go back and make fun of me if they're shitty.
Shit.
But it's almost better to do it that way where it's like you fill out so many brackets you forget and then you can just enjoy the games instead of like not doing any brackets at all.
Or doing just one and like living and dying with that one.
The other thing I fucking hate is when people like there's going to be like a 14 seed that wins a game or something and people will tweet like, oh my God, my bracket's ruined. It's like, yeah, everyone's bracket's ruined, you idiot. It's a 14 seed. Of course it's ruining everyone's bracket. What kind of dumb shit is that?
Yo, and on that note, man, we are out. We'll be back probably soon enough at some point to go over the later rounds. But until then, enjoy the games. Hopefully y'all win some money. Hopefully this fire NCAA tournament preview will help you win some cash. But all right, we out. Peace.
Go Cats.